Test 1 2, test 1 2 3, 1 2 3. This is Nancy Nuss with the Florida Folklife Program. It's March 28th, 1983. I'm at the home of Wilbur Reeves, and I'm going to talk to him about his music. Okay, Mr. Reeves, before we begin the interview, I just like to say that the tape will be deposited at the Folklife Archive at White Springs, and I'll have you sign a release form after the interview if that's agreeable with you.
Kissy.
Okay. All right, you want to tell me when and where you were born?
I was born here in Madison County, 1931, March 4th, within a mile of where we're at right now.
Okay, and how many children did your parents have?
I was the youngest of 13.
My goodness.
Large family.
Yeah, I'd say. What was at that time, what was it like growing up around here?
Well, my early memories were mostly centered around family life, relatives, and a few scattered neighbors. Very seldom seen a stranger. And we'd go to town once a month. Usually on a Saturday, we'd go in a mule and wagon and spend the day, make a day outing of it. Grocery bills was like $6-7 when you went that once a month. But I would say that life was a complete family circle. The investors that you had were relatives, and close neighbors. It was thinly settled through here at that time. They were happy times. They were hard times, but they were happy times. I mean, like today, people love cornbread, but back then, you know, this was coming out of the Depression era, and cornbread was a way of life with my family. We had plenty of cornbread and plenty of meat and plenty of vegetables that we produced ourselves, including the cornbread. So,
okay.
It was a fun time. My kids couldn't live it, but it was a fun time for me looking back.
I understand you play a musical instrument.
Yeah, I fiddle around a little bit. Not a whole lot, mostly for my own enjoyment and family and close friends.
Where did you learn to play the fiddle?
Well, I picked it up myself when I was about 14 years old. I got sick one time, and I had to spend about a month in the bed. I read every book that we had to read two or three times till it got boring, and then this old fiddle was there at the house. And I got my mother to get it for me. It didn't even have any hair in the bow. And I got fiddling around with just a stick, the bow stick, and that old fiddle. And I finally learned to play a tune on it. And from that, it just progressed a little bit each week.
Who did the fiddle belong to?
I really don't know who it belonged to, but things had a way of accumulating at our house from our family. As I say, we had 13 kids in the family. And there was six boys, I believe, and they would come in with different people and leave things there. If they ever needed them, they'd come back. If they didn't, they'd stay there. But it was a violinist come through here back in the mid-30s or late-30s that was going to give violin lessons in the public school system, and just about, well, everybody could afford him. They bought one of his fiddles for his violin lessons, and of course he didn't stay here very long, and the fiddles was laid aside or put in the attic or whatnot, and this was one of those fiddles that wound up at our house. But I believe the fiddle that I learned on, it belonged to my sister-in-law, one of my older brothers. married this girl from Maydale, Georgia, and some of her family was going to take these same lessons. This teacher was like a circuit rider in the old Methodist circuit. And he'd be here 1 week, and as far as Adele, another week. And I believe that's where that fiddle come from.
Did anybody else in your family play the fiddle?
Well, not in this area. My people came here originally from Virginia in 1927, which was 4 years before I was born. Me and my brother, he played a guitar. Me and him were the only two that were born in Florida. The rest of them was born in Virginia. Now, all of my mother's people, including her brothers and sisters, they were all musicians. They were all self-taught musicians. And even today, you can go up there. I was up there 3 years ago at a family reunion. And all of them that was living was at that reunion. And you wouldn't believe the musicians in that group of people. But they had four or five instruments. And as one would tire on an instrument, another one come by and take its place. You know, just made a round robin out of it, and every one of them could make music. And sang, we'd stop making music and sang with the music, you know, every so often. But that's what they lived. Music was really their first love, and then making a living was the rest of it. So I guess it was inherited more than anything else. As I say, my mother was a good musician. She played an old type strumming guitar music. The guitar was the only thing she could play, but she played like Mother Maybelle Carter style with a little of her own style put into it. But they were all good musicians and singers.
Where did your mother learn to play the guitar?
I suppose the same way that I did. She grew up in it, where my brother and I didn't have the benefit of growing up in it as she did. But they made music all their life. Their family was centered around the music.
Do you remember your mother playing the guitar when you were a child?
Oh, yes. Yes. Sure do. And her and my sisters would sit on the front porch at night. You know, we didn't have any electricity back then. They'd sit on the front porch at night and play and sing in the dark. And it's fond memories of that.
Is that where your brother learned to play the guitar?
No, we were a little bit later than this. I was the youngest, and he was next to the youngest. And most of my sisters had moved away.
Had any of them played any musical instruments when they were at home?
The sisters didn't know, or the brothers for that matter. Just me and the brother next to me. But two of the sisters married men that played guitars. And that's really how he learned to play the guitar and got us really started into it. One of the sisters married a man from Arizona, and we thought he was one of those Arizona cowboys, you know, and naturally he could play the guitar. He could play the fiddle. He could play a mandolin. But it was for his own benefit, you know. He never did become a professional musician, like going on records or anything. And I guess that's where the seed really developed, was from him.
You remember hearing him play?
Oh, yes. I was about, that was in 45, so I was 13. I must have been about 13 years old when they came back from service and met him and heard him play. But I didn't hear him play the fiddle until about 48, after I had learned to play, which my style is not a true fiddle playing style. I have my own style, learning it, you know, as I did by myself. I had developed my technique and my fingering, I guess, 2 years before I ever heard, really, I actually saw anybody else play a fiddle. So mostly what I was going after was the rhythm and the note. But I do enjoy it, and apparently other people enjoyed playing with me. Now, we did go on and play semi-professionally for about 3 years, like, you know, round and square dancing.
Which, who is we?
Me and my brother formed us a band, and we picked up a couple of the neighbor boys that played with us.
Did you have a name that you went by?
Well, we went... The first name we had was Sunset Serenaders. And then when we reformed, some of the guys left and we reformed. And we went on the name of the Orange State Playboys.
And what year was this in?
This must have been around when we initially started playing was in 46. And about 48 or 49, we formed the Orange State Playboys. And 2 years of that time, we played 6 nights a week. And we farmed every day. But we'd go off and play, and we traveled from as far as Ocala to Quincy, Florida, on any different nights. But our big dance was at Cherry Lake, Florida, school auditorium, which it burnt several years ago. But when we first started making music, everybody in the community would gather, and we'd just have a regular hootenanny, you know. Like, we may be putting in tobacco or shucking, breaking corn or whatever, but we decide, well, let's get together tonight. Now, this was earlier before we went on the road and played for the dances. We'd get together and say, well, let's make some music tonight. Well, the word would spread, and there'd be people there that we wonder how they got the word, because even that late, it was still fairly thinly populated in this area. Wasn't any telephones. Very few people had cars right on. But the word would get across some way or another, and we'd have a big crowd, and we'd usually start gathering about between sundown and dark at our house, usually. And by good dark, we'd be done about sung out all the songs that they knew. We'd sing all the ballads that our sisters and mothers and the people knew, and we'd sing church songs. Then we'd have a hoedown. So, and there wasn't too many of these sessions before we were beginning to push the furniture back, you know. And incidentally, my dad, he wasn't a musician, but he was 51 years old when I was born. And I didn't know my dad, when he was a young man. But they tell me that he, years before my time, he was a caller for dances. And mother and father, they were agreeable to all of this. I mean, there was always a crowd at our house. So he'd get in and do a little buck and wing or something, you know, and get started. And once or twice he'd call a set. But it was just a lot of fun. And we'd play till we give out. Kids laying around on the bed, you know, on the couches, or in the corner, just like some of the old country songs you hear. I mean, this may happen 3 nights a week, or we may go a week and not get together, but it was a lot of fun. Liquor drinking and no pot smoking going on, I can tell you that. But they enjoyed it because everybody just joined in.
How many years did you do that for?
Well, we quit it more or less when we started playing for public dances. Now, if we had an open night and we were going to practice, same thing. Everybody mm-hmm. come in, we put the word out, we're going to practice tonight. But we still do that about two times a year. Now, I had a friend that went to high school with me. Incidentally, I didn't play the fiddle at all for about 20 years. I quit playing in 1951. My brother went in service in 51, the guitar player, and then I went in 53 when he got out. And I guess up until, it was more than 20 years, it was in the mid-70s when this guy that I went to school with in high school, his son, he got big enough to want to learn to make country music, play country music or bluegrass. And he called me one Saturday afternoon, wanted me to come down there and play with them. They were just trying to learn how to play. And my nephew wanted to learn to play the guitar. They were buddies. So ever since that year, he holds a supper twice a year. And we make music. Everybody around's invited, just like it was back in the mid-40s, you know. And we just have a whale of a time down there.
When is that?
Usually the first one's in July, somewhere around the 4th of July. But it's I don't ever remember it being on the 4th of July, but it's in that time zone. They'll usually have one in July and then one right at the end of harvest season. Now, his name's Herman Williams, and we usually have 300 or 400 people there every time.
Where does he live?
He lives between here and Madison. Now, his son, he's a good young musician. He plays banjo and he plays guitar, and he's learning the fiddle.
What does Herman play?
Herman don't play.
Oh, he
wants to play, but...
You have any family get-togethers where you play anymore?
Not unless some of the Virginia relatives come down. And when they come down, we usually get together once or twice. I had an uncle that died last year. He must have been close to 80 years old. But I believe the last year that they used to come down and spend the winter down this area, and he was my mother's brother. He was a good musician. And when he was 75 years old, he'd get up and buck dance, just like anybody you'd see on television or anything else. But we call it buck dance, and they call it clogging now.
Right.
But he'd get up right by himself and do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was good.
Do you play any other musical instruments besides fiddle?
Well, I play a little guitar and a little bit of mandolin, but not enough to talk about. I don't play that. I don't play the mandolin in public.
Do you remember when you were a child and you were learning to play the fiddle? How did you go about learning?
Well, I was lucky. I had a tuning horn in the case with the fiddle that I learned to play on. Had I not been able to tune the fiddle properly, I never would have got off the ground with it. But it's a four-note tuning horn, you know. And I learned I could sing pretty good even at that age, but I can't sing anymore, if you can tell from my voice. But I could carry a tune. I knew when I was on key and all. So I could listen to that tuning horn and tune my fiddle. And I just went from there. Then I picked the notes out. I knew what the note was supposed to be. I could pitch my voice to the key that I heard, which is important, really. I mean, if you can't do that, you got to read music to play it. And I never did learn to read music.
Did you ever play with your mother?
Yes, I did. Not not as much as I would like to have, because her style was totally different from my style. My mother married when she was 14 years old, and from that time on, well, from 1927, let me change that, from 27 on, she played, done all her playing by herself. And she played mostly the same, you know, for people to sing. But when I learned to play the fiddle, my brother had learned to play the guitar, and my mother would listen and fix refreshments and whatnot for us then. And a lot of times she would play and sing. You know, when we were in our singing phase, she'd play the guitar with us. But she tuned her guitar different and all this. And, you know, I say that's the biggest thing. And when you get together with hillbilly musicians, is they tune 3 hours and play 30 minutes. Oh, we try to eliminate that.
So where did you learn to do your singing?
With my mother. I'd sing with them. I'd aggravate the life out of them. Back when I was 5 years old on up, they'd be trying to sing, and I'd come in off key and all this kind of stuff, you know, just to be aggravating. But that's where I learned to sing. But I hadn't sung none since I was 28 years old. It's been a long time, because I had a throat situation, and I just couldn't carry a tune no more. But I did sing on through high school with the Glee Club and quartet, FFA quartet. I was a junior in high school when we had our first FFA chapter. That was in 1947. And I sung with the FFA quartet, and we had our string band. And that ended my singing, though, when I quit school. When I finished school, I quit singing.
Did you keep that fiddle all that time, the same fiddle?
Yes. Well, the fiddle I have now, the first fiddle, finally deteriorated so bad that I couldn't put it back together. And one of the guys that was in our original band, our Sunset Serenader band, he was in the Air Force, and he went to Europe. And he bought two fiddles while he was over there, and he brought them back with him. And he always wanted to play a fiddle, but he never could learn to play it. So I told him when he came back, showed me his fiddle, and I said, well, if you ever want to get rid of those, I'd like first chance at them. And when he decided to sell them, he came to me and said, here they are. I'm ready to get rid of them. And I gave him $20 for the two fiddles.
You still have both of them?
Yeah, my nephew's got one of them now, and I've got the other one. I've got a George Claus fiddle. It's a good instrument. And the other one was a split-back modern-day fiddle, but the George Claus fiddle is an old fiddle, European-made and made in Bern, Austria.
Does your nephew play?
He's a good guitar player, and he plays piano, country-style piano, plays a banjo song and a mandolin. And incidentally, none of these boys read music. They get it by ear just like I did.
Did you teach him? I mean, did you show him any of the?
I showed him all I could, but he was good, you know, before I got with him.
Does he live around here?
Yes, he lives between here and Lee.
What's his name?
J.D. Agner.
I've heard his name from someone else, too. Does he have a cane grinding or something?
Mm-hmm. That's his daddy. He's J.D. Jr.
Oh, I see. And he can't read music at all?
No. Keith Williams is a young banjo player that played with us. He also lived between Year and Lee.
Is that Herman's son?
That's Herman's son. Herman's wife, Shirley's from Live Oak. She was born and raised at Live Oak.
Is that right?
Of course, Herman was born and raised right here. We went all the way through school together. And he loves it, but he just never has applied himself enough to pick up any of it. But that's a funny thing. People like Herman, he could learn it if he'd apply himself, but he'll listen to it and he'll just get... You just see, I want to do that so bad, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. But Herman's real busy all the time. He makes himself that way.
So J.D. is your nephew.
That's right. That's my sister's son. And his daddy is one of the brother-in-laws that played guitar back years ago with.
Mm-hmm. Is his father still alive?
Yes.
Does his father still play?
Occasionally, whenever we all get together, he usually plays a little bit.
I have to hear y'all play some.
Well, I'm sure we'll be playing at Herman's in July. I don't anticipate anything before then. You know, all of us getting together. Now, me and Keith and J.D. will probably be playing some most any time, but we don't ever know until one of us call in and say, hey, let's get together tomorrow night or whatever. I had a call Saturday night. I was babysitting Saturday night, and a guy that I worked with for 20 years. I hadn't seen him in over a year. It ain't been 2 years, but he called me Saturday night. Hey, he said, get your fiddle and come on up. We're going to pick a little and grin a little tonight. And really, I didn't even know he was into it, but he's 45. He's just getting into it. So if more people stopped and listened and participated one time, this thing would get back like it was when I was young. Mm-hmm. Come to find out, his daughter is interested in banjo. And they tell me she picks pretty good. So, and really, that's what got me started back was these Keith and J.D. They were like 17, 18 years old. And Herman's philosophy and mine, too, it's better for them to be in that old work shed out there learning to pick them instruments than it is to be on the streets. Right. And he's right. I mean, I agree with it. It's a lot of fun, too, if you'll try it.
Mm-hmm. Would you happen to have your fiddle around today?
Yeah, I got it. Got it over here in this corner.
Would you be willing to play some?
I'll scratch you off a tune.
Okay. Let me switch this tape on the other side. We're getting close to the end of side one.
Sally Good and see if I can scratch a little Sally Good.
You can stand up if it's easier for you to stand up. I got to get over for me.
Foot with me.
Well, I'm sitting here. You can't hear me.
this is one of my mother's favorites. I was always partial to waltzes, too, and I really need rhythm behind this, but I'm going to try Waltz You Saved for Me. Like a country musician.
Now that's the fiddle that the guy sold you from overseas? Is that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What country did you get it in?
I believe he bought it in Britain. England. One of the most popular songs this day and time is Orange Blossom Special. And of course that song didn't come, I never did hear it until 1950. But then naturally when it come out, that became my brother and I's theme song. And in my opinion, that's the best square dance piece of music that you can play because of the rhythm, you know. And I'm hesitant about trying it by myself, but I'll try to get a little bit of it. About the time Tex Ritter come out with High Noon, the original High Noon. Of course, Tex was a cowboy actor back in the early 40s, probably the late 30s. But he come out with a record with Rye Whiskey on it, and that was a song, the first song that I learned to play, which was just very, very simple. And watch me not be able to play. But my first music was... And that was the first song, and it was just out of the way. I'll never forget. Never forget how tickled I was when I got it all the way through. Now, most fiddle players, good fiddle players, play with four fingers. But like I told you earlier, when I learned, I had never taught no fiddle player. So I play with three fingers, and occasionally I get the fourth one. And most fiddle players don't play open strings on a fiddle unless it's a harmony string. And I play a lot of open string because it's simpler, just easier for me. But it's not the proper way to play. So, but I play for my enjoyment. I enjoy playing.
Right.
So, there's some songs that give me problems because of this the way I learn, the way I play. But if you're gonna learn to play a fiddle, you need to learn to use all four of your fingers and play closed strings. Because a closed string don't vibrate and rattle like an open string does.
Okay. Well, you got any other tunes you want to play?
No, I can't think of any right off my top of my head. I like to play tunes that people are familiar with. And I never did learn the... I just learned what was available to me. We didn't even have a record player at that point in time. And what I'd hear on the radio on Saturday night is what we played. Or what I'd hear at the jukebox after I got older, and bus stations and clubs and whatnot. Of course, after we got to playing on the road for people at Woodridge, they naturally wanted to hear all the latest songs, and then by that time, we'd got a record player, and we'd play that. But we played, back in those days, they were jitterbugging was the fast dance. You say jitterbug people now, what are you talking about? Them's the old days. But we learned pieces that do all these different dances by, and we'd practice them and play them. If we had to buy the record, then we would, but usually it was just by hearing it on radio. Of course, Bill Monroe was always we liked to hear Bill Monroe. We know he played too much of his music, and bluegrass, straight bluegrass, and all the popular love songs, which that's another difference. Back in those days, people come out with the songs. The songs was really a story that they were telling. Now the songs they come out with is fantasies. I mean, things that some guy ain't ever worked a day in his life sits back in there and dreams up fantasies and put them to music. But my mother used to sing songs like The Bird in the Gilded Cage and Barbara Allen and all these old songs, Weeping Willow Tree. Every one of them was true stories, true events that happened. And whoever was involved, depending on the frame of mind, whether they were happy or whether they were blue, that's the song they came out with. But I don't remember too many of those old songs. So those are the three that come right off the top of my head. And, of course, a lot of them was waltzes. Most of them were slow songs. The fiddle tunes were mostly Irish jigs, really, come from Irish people, poor Irish people. And they told a story, too, but a lot of them, I never did hear any words to a lot of them. Matter of fact, I just heard words to Sally Gooden in the last 10 years. I guess it's had them all the time. I just never did hear them. And the watermelon hanging on the vine. Leather breeches, that's an old fiddle tune. I never did learn to play leather breeches, but 8th of January, I used to hear them on the Grand Ole Opry back in the mid-30s, late-30s. And my cousin still plays them, but I just never did learn them. And, you know, I'm old enough now, I've got in my comfort zone. I don't want to get too far out of my comfort zone. So.
Is this your cousin up in Virginia you're talking
Yes.
about?
I've got a record of his, and if time will allow you, I'd like for you to hear some of it. They're all self-taught musicians that he's playing with. They hit the bluegrass festivals and all, and they play it. He plays at Myrtle Beach in Livonia, Georgia. He'd never been to Florida, but he played a lot with Chubby Anthony, you know, and they played at Livonia together several times and all around.
Well, if that's all, I really appreciate the interview, and I appreciate you getting your fiddle out and playing it tremendously.
Well, it's scratched off. But.
No, I really do thank you for that, and I'll have you sign this release for me, too, so I'll turn this off now.